Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Amen. He deserves all the praise. Amen. Well, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And I'm continuing this month of February is our family month. We talk about children, family, relationships. And this is a message for every single one of us today. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. We're going to take two portions or two verses from what I believe is one of the most powerful and challenging parables that Jesus taught. I believe this is extremely challenging, this parable today. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? Or how often shall somebody sin against me? How often shall somebody offend me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times." You're good at adding up, Peter. You're great with your addition, but let's try multiplication. Until 70 times 7. Peter said, "You know what? I've had enough of this person. I'm really looking for a way out. I'm looking for a way to be able to just write them off. I've forgiven them 7 times. That should be enough, shouldn't it, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Well, you're good at remembering and adding up all the offenses that someone's caused against you, but it's not 7 times. It's 70 times 7. I want to speak today on this title, Detox Your Life. Everybody say, "Detox Your Life." Let's say it a bit loud. I know it's challenging. Everybody say, "Detox Your Life." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, your word challenges us. It inspires us. Lord God, when we read your word, we know of your love for us. But Lord, we also know that scripture is profitable for instruction and reproof and even correction. And so Lord God, speak to us through your word. We want to grow closer to you. Lord God, we want to be the people you want us to be. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. You may be seated. Detox your life. I'm talking today, if you haven't already figured out, I'm talking about forgiveness. Now, I often talk about forgiveness in February. I haven't spoke about it for a little while. I'm not talking about God forgiving us. I'm talking about us forgiving those who hurt us. Unforgiveness is probably one of the most toxic and destructive things in families and relationships. It's very true. Unforgiveness is one of the most toxic and destructive things in families and relationships. How many people can lift their hand and say that they have seen the destructive nature of unforgiveness? Yeah. Maybe you've seen it in your family. Maybe you've seen it in relationships at work or something like that. But it, not only in our spiritual life, not only in our relationships, but it's also toxic even to our physical health. And doctors are finding more and more that unforgiveness, that becomes bitterness, that becomes resentment, is dangerous for our physical health. I often make this quote, and I'll use a scripture to back it up, but unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin. A lot of people are interested in the unforgivable sin, but there's one scripture that tells us that unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin, because Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you can ask God to forgive you as much as you want, but if you haven't forgiven the person that has trespassed against you, God's forgiveness is withheld. And so we can say that harboring unforgiveness is the unforgivable sin. Now, maybe you're already feeling uncomfortable. Maybe your seat feels like it's got tacks on it. Maybe it's feeling hot today. But today, let me tell you, some messages are more surgical than celebration. Some messages are more surgical, where God's word goes in and prods and cuts and moves. But I tell you today, we talk a lot about things that de-stress us. A message like this will de-stress you. If you're willing to hear it, if you're willing to receive it, and if you're willing to apply it to your life, it will de-stress you. It will release the pressure valve. It will take away the stress in your life. You'll be able to sleep better if you can learn about the power of forgiveness. There was a man who was rushed to hospital. And just a story, by the way, I don't know if it's a true story, but he was rushed to hospital and he had contracted rabies from a dog bite. And a cure had not yet been discovered. And so he went to hospital with a prognosis that because he got rabies, he's most likely going to die. And so he's in bed and he asked the doctor, he said, "Doctor, I know you've told me that the prognosis is not good. I'm wondering if you could bring me a pen and paper." And so the doctor said, "No problems, I'll get you a pen and paper." And he brings it to the man lying in the bed and he says, as he gives him the pen and paper, he says, "I'm so glad to see that you're working on your will." It's a very responsible thing to do, to work on your will and where you're going to give the things after you pass away. And the man replied, he said, no, "I'm not working on my will. This is a list of people that I'm going to bite before I die." Unforgiveness is toxic in every part of our life, in our spiritual lives, in our relationships, in our family, and even physically. It is toxic. Toxins are poisonous substances that can cause disease in your life. Like an infection, unforgiveness can start very simply, just like a little scratch on the surface. In fact, some of the worst infections I've seen in people, I'm not a doctor or anything, but I've seen people just get a tiny little splinter and it got infected and the infection went all the way through their hand and then begin to go into their arm and the infection begin to spread in their body and the doctors get very worried about those things because unforgiveness, like infection, can start off very small and then can spread all through the body. One severe degree of infection would be what they call sepsis. Sepsis is dangerous because it can lead to organ failure. It can even be life-threatening. Doctors get very worried when someone gets sepsis. It can even have a profound effect on your heart. Everyone say your heart. Sepsis can result in low blood pressure, can reduce the flow to the heart. It can even result in heart failure. But where did it start? It just started with something very small. And the same is with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness often starts with just something very small, just something on the surface, but then it begins to spread throughout the body and it can even go to the heart. Everyone say the heart. And that's why Proverbs says, "Keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Don't allow bitterness to get in your heart. Because if you allow bitterness to get in your heart, it will affect all the issues of your life. It will affect you, most certainly. It will affect your well-being. It will affect how much joy you get out of life. But I've also seen how unforgiveness and bitterness in somebody's hearts begins to affect their relationships with other people. You know, people look at them and say, "What's wrong with you?" I just feel awkward to be around them. Not because there's an issue between those two people, but because this person, that all their communications and all their other relationships are being impacted. Why? Because they got poison in their heart. It can begin to show on their face. It can begin to show in sleepless nights. It can begin to show in sickness. And you have to ask yourself, why do people hold on to bitterness against somebody else? Why? Yes, this is why. They've been hurt. And hurts are real. Offenses are real. Not everybody is a nice person. Not everybody has a good agenda. Some people really have no clue when it comes to other people. They're so narcissistic, all they can think about is themselves. I'm not trying to deny that life isn't hard. And Jesus even told us, he said, it is impossible to get through life without being offended. So let's test that today. How many people can say at some time in your life, somebody has offended you? All right, so God's word's true. Sometimes it was just something that we didn't like. It wasn't wrong. It was just something that we didn't like. But deep down, I thought about this. Why do people harbor unforgiveness? I think deep down, and maybe irrationally, we actually think that if we have bitterness towards someone, that we're actually hurting them. That by me being bitter and me holding unforgiveness, that somehow it's impacting them. But the reality is, they've moved on with their life, and you're the one who can't stop thinking about it. The only person it's impacting is us. The only person that's thinking about it, they're probably on to the next person to offend. They're probably gone to cause someone else a trouble, but there you are. One person said it like this. He said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Someone a little bit less diplomatic said it like this. Unforgiveness is like punching yourself in the face. And that's what we feel like. We feel angry, we feel offended, we feel bitter, and we want to punch them in the face. So we get all this bitterness and it builds up in our life, but the only person we punched in the face is ourselves. Because the only person it's impacting is ourselves. And so God wants us to clean up our hearts, to detox our lives. Because with unforgiveness in our heart, we cannot live the life that God wants us to live. You cannot live the way God, you cannot be positioned for God to use you and even bless you if you have unforgiveness. You can't even be in a place to have your sins forgiven if you haven't forgiven somebody else. And that's straight out of the Bible. Forgiveness is the only way to detox your life. You see, God cannot give you the future in your hands while your hands are still full of the past. And sometimes we got to let go of things that in the past in order to go where God wants us to go. And so here in our text, Peter says, well, Jesus, how long does this have to keep going on? 7 times. Now, I think Peter's trying to define forgiveness. He said, I want a definition on this thing, forgiveness. I want to put a number on it. I want to put a number on it because I want to know when I've done enough and I can stop forgiving. What are the boundaries? Where does this stop? And I've got a feeling deep down that Simon Peter probably had somebody in mind. Anybody agree with me? And maybe today you've got somebody in mind. But Peter almost certainly had somebody in mind when he asked Jesus this question. And he's ready to write someone off. He's ready to be done with them. And he said, when can I be done rightfully with them? And when can I rightfully harbor all of these ill feelings? He's like a lot of us today. We're very good at remembering transgressions. When it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to people that hurt us, we are great counters. We can count. In fact, when it comes to unforgiveness, our memory, oh my goodness, we may forget a lot of things, but when it comes to offenses, our memory is 100%. On the 11th of February at 2:30 p.m., we were standing out the front of Woolworths, and they said these exact words. You may forget everything else, but you're not going to forget that offense. So when it comes to unforgiveness, we're great counters. We got great memories. In fact, the sad thing is, when it comes to our blessings, we're not great at counting them. In fact, we can even overlook them. That's why you got to sing that song. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and see what the Lord has done. And so Peter asks this question. He says, and I think he thinks he's being generous. Some sort of generous standard. I mean, seven times they've done this, and I forgave them seven times. Surely, Jesus, you're going to give me a tick for that. And Jesus says, I like your addition. How about your multiplication? He says, 70 times 7. Now, the number 490 is not a number. Jesus didn't put a number on it. He was saying, just like he said when he said 10,000 angels could come take me down off this cross. He wasn't saying 9,999 plus one. No, he was saying that forgiveness ought to be endless. That we never stop forgiving. Why? Because God never stops forgiving us. He never gets to a point and says, okay, you've reached the threshold. But do remember, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? If you find a place of repentance, he will forgive. So detox your life. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Everyone say pure. Now that word there, pure, is the word katharos. And that word pure or katharos is used 27 times in the New Testament. 27 times. And it simply means something that is clean or free from contamination. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have a clean heart. Blessed are those whose hearts are free from contamination. And so that word katharos is where we get the word catheter. Now we got a lot of doctors and nurses here, and now you know exactly what a catheter is. Catheters can be used for lots of purposes, but one of the ways they will use a catheter is when there is a buildup of infection or fluid or toxic things, say in the chest cavity. They will put a catheter through the rib cage into the chest cavity to drain out all the toxins. That's one of the reasons they use catheters. And so impurities do come. We are going to have people offend us. And we're going to have those things happen to us. We're going to have those feelings in our heart. Those toxins, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head. They're going to come. But you must have a way of maintaining a pure heart. How do you maintain a pure heart? It's important. Why? Because you're going to be blessed if you can have a pure heart. And even more than being blessed is that you're going to see God. And the opposite is true also. By having toxic things in your heart like bitterness and unforgiveness, you're robbed of your blessing and you won't see God. And so you've got to have to have a pure heart means to have a catheter, a way of cleansing those impurities. And the only way to do it is through forgiveness. If you can keep your heart purged, if you can keep your heart clean from contamination, you will see God. And that is the story of Joseph. We love the story of Joseph. We love reading about Joseph. And he gets this wonderful dream, which is highly offensive to his brothers. They become jealous of him. They become jealous of his relationship with his dad. His dad seems to prefer old Joe. And so they have it in for him. And so one day they see him and they decide, we got to do something about this guy. They were thinking about killing him, but they ended up deciding to throw him in a pit. They grabbed his coat. They put goat's blood all over the coat. They said to dad, they said, listen, Jacob, Dad, you know, Joseph has been killed by a wild beast. Anyway, they see this caravan of people coming along, and so instead of saying in the pit, they sell him into slavery. Everyone say slavery. And so here is Joseph. By his own brothers, he's been lied about. They tried to kill him. They tried to get rid of him. And what might have even been worse is that maybe it would have been better for him to die than to be sold into slavery. But now he's made a slave. But this is how Joseph managed. Joseph had a catheter in his heart. He was able to maintain a pure heart. And because Joseph was able to maintain a pure heart, it led to Joseph being promoted. He became a powerful figure in Egypt. And what's more, he even was able to bless his family. The blessing overflowed from Joseph's life to be able to bless his family. You see, God promoted him. God blessed him. He was as much a son of Jacob as all the other sons. But he was blessed more than all the other brothers. Why? Because he had it in his heart to forgive. He was able to have a pure heart. And the distinction between Joseph and his brothers was that the way that Joseph was able to keep his heart. And so his brothers come during the famine and they're begging for food. And guess what? Joseph's in charge now. And Joseph now, if he was like a lot of people these days, he's thinking, now I have got my opportunity for revenge. This is the time I've been waiting for. They're coming and they're begging for mercies. But you know what? Joseph had detoxed. The impurities were drained. Joseph, of course, he would have had a few trust issues, no doubt. Trust and forgiveness are not the same things. He would have had a few trust issues, but he had forgiven. And if he had not forgiven, he would have been too bitter to be trusted with the blessing. And let me tell you that if you've got bitterness, God will not trust you with a blessing. God cannot promote somebody who's got bitterness in their heart, because when people that are bitter rise into prominent positions, they just become meaner and more vicious. I'm sorry. If I'm going to be blessed, I need to detox my heart. I need to have a pure heart, a way of getting rid of those impurities and those toxins. And Jesus said it in Luke 17, verse 1. He said to his disciples, "It is impossible to get through life without being offended." It's impossible. And so if Jesus said, it's 100% chance you're going to be offended, then why are we so surprised when it happens? That's one thing. The second thing is, why aren't we prepared when it happens? You see, a lot of people, they look at the weather report, it says 100% chance of rain. You grab an umbrella. You get prepared for it. But there are still some people that say, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't really think this was going to happen. I know they said 100% chance of rain. I knew that there were clouds forming, but I'm still... And a lot of people are not prepared. You got to be prepared, brothers and sisters, because either you've been offended, either you are offended, or you're going to be offended. It's impossible to get through life, so prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for what you're going to do. And forgiveness is a big idea. Big people don't have a problem with forgiveness. Can you imagine being a politician these days? You know, they draw those caricatures. They make people look ugly. You know, they put a big nose on them, big ears, and they tell lies about them. And you know, politicians tell lies as well. But, you know, rumors are spread and all this sort of stuff. And they've got to wake up the next day and go back to their job and just do the right thing. After betrayals and things like that, even other people, you can think of forgiveness is a big idea. You see, if you cannot handle a first grade offense, then God's not going to give you a master's in life. You've got to learn to be able to deal with offenses. You've got to have that catheter in your heart. You see, when you've got unforgiveness, there is a blockage. Everyone say a blockage. Just like if there's a blockage in your bowel, that's a problem. If there's a blockage in your bowel, it begins to show on the outside. There are symptoms on the outside. If you've got a blockage in your urinary system, it's going to begin to show in your eyes and your skin. You see, you can apply this to the spiritual as well, because when you're harboring unforgiveness and you've got a blockage in your system, it begins to show up in the way you speak. It begins to show up in your facial expressions. It begins to show up in the way that you can't sleep and you're agitated and all these things. Let me tell you today, The best thing you can do is prepare yourself for offense and have a way of finding a place of forgiveness for them in your heart to detox your life. I love to tell this story because it paints a good picture of forgiveness. There was a lady, a missionary lady. She had served on the mission field for many years. She had given her whole life to serving God and serving people and serving in foreign countries. She had no superannuation. She had no savings, nothing like that. She came home from the mission field and she was given a little beat up old car, just enough to get from A to B. On the other side of the coin, there was this young man who was 25, had just got a huge loan to buy a $120,000 black BMW, shiny, mag wheels, loud engine and muffler system and sound system. He's got, it's all hotted up, low profile tires. And quickly around Canberra, this young man in his car, people begin to know him, you know. He was one of those guys that just drives slowly through Civic, you know, so everyone could look at his car. And he was so proud of his car. Brother Kingsley, he'd pull up at the lights and people would just be looking. Ooh, yeah. And he felt good. It was a good thing. He had this nice car and was looking at it. He felt happy. But then one day, Brother Pavi, he pulled up at the lights and he's waiting for the lights to change. Bang! In the back of the car. You can imagine how he felt. He looks in the rear vision mirror and all he can see is this little old lady with all this white hair. He looks at the car. It's a beat up old car. So he gets out. They begin to exchange details and he very quickly finds out that she's a retired missionary. She has absolutely no money. She has no insurance. There's no way that she's going to be able to fix his car. So now he's got a decision. Everyone say a decision. What am I going to do? I can either drive around in this smashed up car and people are going to look at me and they're going to say, what's wrong with him? Why would you drive around like that? Well, why doesn't he fix that thing? That could be a nice car. He could have something very nice, but he's driving around. It's all crumpled up at the back. He's got a choice. He can continue to drive around in that smashed up car, hoping somehow that this little old lady is going to experience a miracle and be able to fix his car. Or he could forgive. You see, forgiveness, when an offense occurs against us, people incur a debt with us. The balance was here, but when the offense occurred, they dropped. There was a debt. And we wait for them to pay it, but very often they can't change what's been done. They may never have the capacity to ever rectify the issue. And so in order for him to get on with his life, the only way to do it is to pay it himself. Did he do it for the lady? No, not so much. He did it for himself. He forgave for his own well-being, because blessed are the pure in heart. He said, you know, I got to find a way to get these impurities out of my life. You see, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision. Did he feel like doing it? No. Was it easy? No. But he decided, I can't be controlled by my feelings. I've got to get control back of my life, and I want to be blessed. Unforgiveness. Everyone say unforgiveness. It's like living in your apartment, but putting the thermostat in someone else's apartment. Have you thought about that? It's like living in your house with your heating and cooling system, but putting the thermostat in someone else's room. And so what the other person does is they control the temperature in your life. That's what unforgiveness. You're putting power in their hands to control you. Release them. Forgive. Why would you let somebody have control over the atmosphere of your life? I'm not saying that you have to trust them again, because trust is earned. I'm not saying you have to start going on holidays with them, start having tea and coffee with them. Trust is very, and a lot of people don't forgive because they think, if I forgive them, then I have to trust them and everything has to go back to the same as it was before. Not necessarily. That would be great if you could be reconciled in that way. And we pray for that. But you can forgive without trusting. Do it for yourself. I asked the musicians to come as I finish with a story right now. I'm going to read this story. It's a powerful story. It was in church in Munich that I saw him. A balding, heavy-set man with a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken. It was 1947 and I had come from Holland to a defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. How many people have heard of Corrie ten Boom? Yes, she went through the Second World War. She went after then to go and preach everywhere about forgiveness. She even came to Australia. But she had gone from Holland to Germany to preach about forgiveness. And she said, and that's when I saw him. We were coming up out of the basement where I had just preached. And that's where I saw him walking his way forward against the others. One moment, I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, it was like a flash. I saw the blue uniform with the visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back to me with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of having to walk naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, Betsy. Her ribs. Betsy, how thin you were. You see, Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation in Holland. And this man that turned up to church that day had been a guard in Ravensbrück. Ravensbrück concentration camp is where we were, and he was a guard. He walked up to me, Corrie says, and he says to Corrie ten Boom, he says, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk today, Betsy. He says, I was a guard there at that concentration camp. Betsy and Corrie remembers, no, obviously he doesn't remember me. He said, I was a guard there, but since that time, Corrie, I've now become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for all the cruel things that I did there in that concentration camp. But Corrie, I would love to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, as he put out his hand, will you forgive me? She said, I stood there. I, whose sins have been forgiven every day, and I couldn't. My sister had died in that place. And could he come and just ask for forgiveness and somehow erase her terrible death simply by asking? She says it could have been many seconds that I stood there, hand held out. He held his hand out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing that I have ever had to do. I knew what I had to do. The message that God forgives us has a prior condition that we forgive those who have sinned against us. Corrie says, I know the scripture, if I don't forgive men their trespasses, then how can my heavenly Father forgive me of my trespasses? Corrie ten Boom stood there that day with the coldness clutching her heart. And she remembered, forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of will. And the will can function regardless of how my heart feels. Regardless of the bitterness, regardless of the hurt, regardless of the temperature of my heart, I can will to forgive. She prayed a silent prayer and said, Jesus, help me. She said, help me that I can lift my hand. Jesus, I can do that much. I can lift my hand. I don't feel it. I don't feel anything inside me wanting to do this. But Jesus, I know that I can at least lift my hand. I can do that much. And so she says, I woodenly and mechanically thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, something incredible took place. She said, it was like a current that started in my shoulder. It seemed to race down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this feeling of warmth seemed to flood my whole body. It brought tears to my eyes. As Corrie ten Boom held the hand of that guard from the very place where she was tortured, from the very place where she saw her sister die, she held his hand and said, I forgive you, brother, with all of my heart. She said, for one long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former Nazi guard and the former prisoner. And she said, I have never known God's love so intensely as I did right then. She found a place to forgive. Did she feel it? No. The feeling wasn't there. Was it easy? No. But as she put her hand forth, God did the rest. Let me tell you, you can detox your life today. You can get victory over bitterness and unforgiveness. If Jesus forgave us our many sins and our continual sins, how much more should we forgive those who sin against us? Can we stand across this place today? Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. The presence of God is here and ministering right now. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you today. The Lord is ministering to somebody's heart. I know I brought a very difficult message today. Maybe you feel like the surgeon's gone deep into your heart and even dragged up things from that you thought were gone. You somehow closed them out, but as we begin to talk, the thoughts came back and the faces of the people came back. Let every head be bowed right now. Let every eye be closed, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Jesus, that you forgave us for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness to us. We thank you, Lord, that even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Lord, you didn't wait for us to rectify everything in our life. Lord, even our backs were turned to you. But your love was so great that you died for us. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those today who have the blockage of unforgiveness in their life. Lord, I pray for those who rehearse these moments over and over again in their minds. Lord, I pray that they would find a place of forgiveness today for that person, to release them of the debt, to stop pursuing and waiting for something to happen that can somehow reverse the events of the past. Lord God, help us to be able to catheterize our heart. Lord, help us to be able to drain the impurities of unforgiveness and the toxins that affect our relationships, that affect our marriage, that affect our physical health, oh God. I pray that we would find a place of forgiveness. Lord, I pray you'd give somebody the strength today. Lord, as you did to Corrie ten Boom as she stood in front of that Nazi soldier, Lord God. Lord God, we may not be feeling it, oh God, but our will can act in spite of our feelings. Help us to make a decision today, oh God, to release, oh God, to drain those impurities and toxins out of our life, oh God, that we may possess every blessing that you have for us, that, oh God, we may be able to go into your will and into your way, and like, Lord God, you can use us. Just as Joseph, oh God, help us to release, that you may promote us, oh God, and put us in a place of blessing. Yes, Jesus, we love you, Lord.